Sox.
Go, 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 go.
Let's go, 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 White Sox. Chicago is proud of you.
This is White Sox Weekly, the Chicago baseball conversation on the new flagship home of the Sox, 720 WGN.
What were the odds, Harry Tynowitz? White Sox Weekly, week one game in, that the Chicago White Sox, after opening day, Harry, with a day off after, would be all alone in first place in the American League Central. I know there's 161 more games to play, but all alone in first place after one game. The Sox with a win. Everybody else in the division lost. 1-0, one game up. Let's go. Welcome to White Sox Weekly.
Hey, don't stop there, Carm. How about the fact that they lead all of baseball in offense? How about the fact that they crushed six Taters, tying the all-time franchise record? How about the fact that they forced the Royals to tie a record you don't want to tie, and then they broke it? The Sox made the Kansas City Royals use nine pitchers in a nine-inning baseball game. Okay? That is a pitching staff unable to handle an offense. I don't expect that to be that way every day, but I do expect Matt Davidson to crush all season long.
White Sox Weekly with you till 5:40 today. Taking you up to pregame, Andy Mazur will have that for you. The White Sox and the Kansas City Royals mound matchup tonight. Ian Kennedy is starting for the Kansas City Royals. Ian Kennedy does not pitch well against the Chicago White Sox. Really not well against anyone. Last year he was 5-13 with an ERA of 5.38 in 30 starts. He was 0-2 against the Sox with an ERA almost at 8, 7.65, 17 earned runs, 20 innings. And he's 2-7 for his career against the Sox with an ERA over 6.
He had one marvelous season. He had one season where he looked like he was Cy Young, and then he has just sort of tailed off. And for the White Sox, you know, the future. The future's on the hill today. Luis Giolito with that sweeping curveball.
Lucas Giolito, 3-3 with an ERA of 2.38 for the Sox last year in September when he came on up and looked fantastic. He was 1-0 against the Royals last year with a no decision. Faced him twice in September, and he had a phenomenal spring. 2-0 ERA, just over 2. And the future on the mound tonight, it's this is his first ever start in April in the big leagues, and his first start before he starts opening day on Thursday against the Tigers.
Right, and you heard Matt Davidson talk about what it meant for him, you know, to be in the lineup opening day, to be with the team from opening day. You know, Giolito's got to be equally excited that he is part of this club from the beginning. It's going to be a really fun year for the Sox. Now, the Tigers look awful. The Indians look spectacular, even though, you know, Seattle's been able to, maintain the upper hand with them. The Twins, I think, are going to be pretty good. You know, I wouldn't sell the Twins short. Molly knows what he's doing with that team. And, you know, I think that's really like a three-team race there. You know, Sox, you know, Indians and Twins. But the Sox probably going to be in the back most of the season, but that's okay because you see the talent. You see what they're capable of.
Cleveland's in action right now. They lead Seattle 4-0, end of one in Seattle. So we'll see if the Indians get their first win on the season. But let's rewind back. You know, White Sox don't get an out on opening day, and they're down 4-0
right away.
And it, you know, Lucas Duda is first at bat as a Royal. It's a 3-run bomb. Everyone's killing James Shields on Twitter. And then the guy comes back, settles down, pitches well, you know, into the sixth inning, and the White Sox offense comes to play. Matt Davidson on White Sox Weekly last week. We're going to be joined by Ed Farmer today, but I don't want to wait for that. Davidson at the plate trying to make some noise.
Duffy has not had a problem. Now he has reached a problem. And the 2-1 to Davidson, a swing and a fly ball deep left center field. This is tagged, bagged. It's a one-run game. Davidson goes back-to-back with Abreu. It's now 4-3 Kansas City.
So Jose Abreu hits the two-run shot. Then Matt Davidson comes up 4-3. And I'm thinking to myself, Harry, remember when we had Matt Davidson on last week? Wasn't that cool? Look, he's hitting home runs. He had a great spring, and now he's doing it on opening day. Pretty cool.
It was very cool. And, you know, he's very low-key, but his bat is not.
Yeah, hey, there was another at bat with Matt Davidson.
Here's a swing and a long one to left. Jay's going to watch this ball fly out. Davidson has hit two home runs today, and the White Sox now lead by two at 6-4. And what a rocket shot that was!
Didn't mean to clip you there, Ed Farmer. 6-4 White Sox. And then it was pretty much out of reach, but let's really put it out of reach.
Runners at first and third. Here's a swing and a long one to left. Down the line to the pole. Is it high enough? He's hit his third home run of the game as Matt Davidson. A three-run shot, and the White Sox now lead 14-4.
It's unbelievable. How often do you score 14 unanswered, Terry?
Hey, I don't even know if the Bears do that a lot.
That's a true statement. Not for a long time, at least.
In the history of the White Sox organization, they've only had four guys with multi-home run games on opening day going into Thursday's contest, and then two guys did it Thursday. They took that number up 50% with Tim Anderson knocking a pair.
Well, we could hit up some Tim Anderson, too, who had a great day. And you know what I love about – you know what? My favorite play of the whole opening day extravaganza was Yolmer Sanchez's base hit with the bases loaded, and Tim Anderson – it was a 3-2 pitch, so we got started early. Base hit. Dude scores from first base flying around. That's exciting baseball right there. I loved it.
I think that's how they're going to go all year. You know, I think this is a team that's going to take advantage where they can take advantage. And on the base paths, there are certain guys that when they're on there, they're, you know, all systems are go.
And Tim Anderson had a pretty nice day at the plate as well.
Here's the 1-1 from Duffy. Swinging a high fly ball to left. This is going to go to the bullpen. Game time, no run. Three homers in the inning, and that's the first for Timmy Anderson to tie the game at four.
My favorite part about that was the reaction. Ball's in the air, he claps the hands, he's just enjoying himself, and then proceeds to go around the bases. I love players that show enthusiasm, Harry, you're not necessarily taunting the other team, taunting the Royals, but just enjoying himself on the baseball field, trying to get off to a great start in 2018, and that was a beautiful thing to see.
That was a beautiful thing to see, and they did this against the Royals' best. Danny Duffy's a solid pitcher. This is not a fifth starter. Danny Duffy brings it, you know, a career Royal. He's been with the Royals since 2011 when his baseball career was birthed, and his ERA for his career has been very, very solid. It sits at a 3.77. Anytime you're under four, you know, with American League being your only league that you've been in, that's pretty consistent. And they got to Danny Duffy, and they got to him hard, and they got to him off.
Yeah, it didn't seem like that was going to happen either. Then all of a sudden the fourth inning came. Let's do one more Tim Anderson moment for good measure.
1-2 the count. There's a slider, a swing, and a high fly ball to left. This is going to have rain on it when it comes down. Jay at the track. He leaps. It's into the bullpen for a two-run homer. Anderson has hit his second, a two-run shot with Delmonico scoring. It's now an 8-4 Sox lead.
Yep, right after Matt Davidson again to go 8-4. And then, of course, the White Sox go on 14-7, the final on opening day. And what a way to break in on 720 WGN, put up 14 big runs. And we'll see what happens tonight. Again, our pregame at 5:40 with Andy Mazur. But a great day for Anderson, a great day for Matt Davidson, great day for Jose Abreu to get him on the board. And I thought that, you know, James Shields coming back from his start to pitch, get him deep into the game so the White Sox could use their bullpen the way they wanted to, I thought that was huge as well. And can't wait to see Lucas Giolito go out and do it tonight. You know, it's interesting. He talked about his spring training, Harry, where he wanted to work on his curveball, feel more comfortable with it. He said he went out and accomplished that. And now it's we'll see how he starts the season off. But I expect it to go exceedingly well.
Right. And the Sox have a day game tomorrow. It's a 1:15 start, three games straight, 6 o'clock in Toronto, north of the border, and their home opener is Thursday, and the whole station is going to be out there Thursday, and it's going to be like one big party. If the White Sox You know, if the White Sox, you know, and the Royals are missing their best player because of a freak injury. But if the White Sox can come out of Kansas City 2-1 heading to Toronto, that's solid. You know, I won't jinx them. I won't say sweep unless they win tonight. Then I'll start sweeping.
Well, there you go. Hey, one comment from James Shields before I take a quick time out here. James Shields, these guys want it bad. They are an unbelievably talented group of young guys. The chemistry, you can see it building. We made some big strides at the end of last year, and we brought it right into spring training this year. Scott Merkin is going to join us from MLB.com.
He's my second favorite Merkin.
Merkin has had a rough spring. He had a little bulging disc, and he was on the shelf, and now he's back. Can't have White Sox baseball without Scott Merkin. He'll be here at 4:35. Farmio will be with us at 5:05, and we'll have a special guest hopefully at 4:05 as well. And the White Sox and everybody are giving all the good vibes, sending them straight to San Antonio, to the Loyola Ramblers, Sister Jean, Rambler Nation, Illinois Nation, Chicago Nation, everybody basically but go blue. Kind of a tough time here for Rick Hahn, Michigan grad.
Right.
Scott Merkin, Michigan grad.
More living Michigan grads than any other college. Did you know that?
Is that right?
Yes, sir.
I did not know that.
How about that?
Well, go blue. Not today.
Yeah.
Man, you're wearing a Kansas shirt, so good luck to you.
Hell yeah.
Good luck to your Jayhawks.
Hell yeah.
In game two tonight versus Villanova. Hey, it's White Sox Weekly. You want to jump on and thoughts on the opener? 312-981-7200. You feeling a little optimism building here that the season could be super interesting? Go ahead. You could say it right now. All alone in first place. 1-0. At bare minimum, they'll be tied for first place today.
In the words of the greatest basketball player ever, Michael Jordan, most definitely.
Quite naturally, certainly, quite frankly. 720 WGN, it's White Sox Weekly. White Sox Weekly, our first headphone malfunction, but I got through it quick there, Harry.
Yes, you did. You adjusted.
How'd you do yesterday on the Bill and Wendy show without Wendy?
Without Wendy. Can you imagine that? Wasn't very much the same without Wendy, but it's always great. You know, Bill and I go way back. I met Bill in 1936, and we had a blast. Wendy returns on Monday.
I love when you fill in, Harry Tynowitz.
10 to noon every morning right after Cochran. That's Bill and Wendy show, and they do an hour on the stream.
This is White Sox Weekly, 720 WGN with you till 540 today. Throwing out some opening day excitement. James, White Sox all alone in first place after beating the Royals 14-7 after trailing 4-0. James Shields, an impressive rebound from giving up four runs before getting it out. Six innings, five hits, four runs, four earned is how the day ended up. Didn't strike out anybody. Walked one, 97 pitches. Mike, you want to talk some James Shields? Welcome to White Sox Weekly, 312-981-7200. What's up, Mike?
Good afternoon, fellas. I just want to say, after the first inning, you know, it was just like, here we go. James Shields, here he is, all this money, and then he dominated, and the boys came back, and I was so excited to see this team come together. We are one eighth of the way there, Tom.
Well, hey, Mike, before you
releasing, go, releasing James Shields from our payroll. If he can win eight games, we're good to go.
Well,
I think we'll get something back in return for next year.
Mike, okay, now we've got five things to hit on here. Number one, Mike, I want to go back. They're down 4-0. How many wins did you think they were going to have on the season at that point?
I figured 62, 66.
Right, and how many do you think they're going to have today after coming back to win the game?
Maybe 71, I'm hopeful.
Okay, well,
I'm keeping it real.
I think most White Sox fans.
I'm very hopeful. This team is youthful. They bring a lot of exuberance. I can't wait till opening day because I got tickets right there on one place. I'm going to be there.
What section, Mike? Me and Harry are going to come and say hi because you're our guy.
134, right behind home plate.
You are right behind home plate. Are you going to be giving singles?
Don't tell me what role. No, because I ain't telling you what role.
Why not?
He doesn't trust you, Carm. He doesn't trust you.
Who doesn't trust me?
Who trusts you?
Wow, Mike, I'm shocked. I'm stunned. I'm offended all at the same time here.
Come on now. No, you just got to ask for Mike.
Okay.
Come down to 134. Ask for Mike. I'll stand up.
Okay. All right. You got it. What parking lot are you going to tell me what parking lot you're going to tailgate on Thursday there?
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, we got to come in early. I'm coming out from Byron, Illinois, man.
Yep.
Sweet. And Lucas Giolito, tonight's starter, will get the home opener on Thursday.
Yeah. Appreciate the phone call, Mike. So here we go. James Shields, it's a win-win. Unless if he pitches well,
mm-hmm.
And he's talking about the money. Look, James Shields is a free agent at the end of the year. The White Sox, there's not a money concern here. Now, maybe if the Sox eat more money, if they end up dealing him because they're out of it in July, they'll get a better prospect. I would think they would be willing to do that if James Shields has a good season. So if he's great and they're winning games, well, then maybe he's around here. Because you're not going to get some of the top prospects in baseball for one half season of James Shields. It's not going to, even if he pitches very well.
Right. I mean, you know, and really there, you got to wait. You got to hope that there's a lot of teams that are in it, a lot of teams that think they're in it. And the closer you wait until the trading deadline, the greater his value is, obviously. But, you know, here's a question. Carlos Rodon, when is he going to be back? Because when he is healthy, he needs to get the ball every 5 days.
And the word on Rodon is that it's coming quicker than expected. He's been
with the team.
Yeah, he's with the team, pain-free, ahead of schedule, all that. And by the way, why are we talking about making trades while sitting here all alone in first place in April? There's plenty of time for that, Mike. Plenty of time to talk trades. And I don't think we need to do that before the home opener right now after a 14-7 win. Harry.
I've got Matt Davidson with 42. I'd be curious to know what you texters think he's going to end up with for his home run total. Also, tonight, after the White Sox victory, Mark Carmen makes his debut on the postgame show. We would like to know what should Mark be doing on the Sox postgame show and what should he not be doing.
162 times 3 equals 486 home runs. That would be the pace of Matt Davidson right now.
I'm going to double check, but I think that's a record.
I that might very well be a record. Quick timeout, 720 WGN. Text line, Chicago's Loyola Ramblers are on a mission from God, whoever she may or may not be. It's exactly right. Go Rambles. White Sox Weekly supports that text here. 720 WGN with you till 540. Hoping to talk to Brooks Boyer right after 4 o'clock. Get you ready for opening day. Everything you'll be able to consume, appreciate, experience at the park this coming Thursday with the Tigers. Of course, WGN will be out there. Harry, I'm expecting we're going to walk the concourse, say hi to people. Are you down for that? Like, we can just keep on doing the circle, upper deck, lower deck,
the
whole thing.
You're saying do the Kopic walk?
Yep, pretty much. Saw Chet the other day.
How is he?
He's great. He's always great. He's
living legend. If it weren't for Chet and the Swirsk, don't know if we'd have sports radio.
Congratulations to Chuck Swirsky going into the WGN Walk of Fame, along with David Kaplan, who I believe I worked with back in the day, and Mary Vandeveld going in as well. So congrats to all of them. Hey, White Sox baseball, by the way, is back. Now's your chance to catch all the action at home with the 2018 Ballpark Pass for just, Harry,
this is amazing,
$126.
It's like $4 a game.
You can get access to 36 home games in April, May, and September. The pass is on sale for a limited time. Get more information at whitesox.com/ballparkpass. Download the MLB Ballpark app through the App Store today. Hold on a second there, Harry. I got my calculator out. Let's give you an exact. 126 divided by 36. If you went to every game, that would be $3.50 a game. Harry.
Okay, so my $4 was high. So, yes. So someone clearly made a mistake. Someone clearly did a typo. I'm guessing that person got suspended. And, I mean, they're giving, you know, I mean, that is something you jump on there.
Ride the CTA to the south side. What is that, 2.25 nowadays?
Oh,
250?
Yeah, they jack that up.
Yeah, well, September,
it might be more to go to the CTA than to use that pass for a September game.
Let's call it $3.50 plus $2.50 for easy math. So we're at $6. You're in the park and you're there.
And if you go on a Wednesday, your hot dogs are $1.
That's $7 and you're living the dream. Have two, maybe three. $8-9
Yeah, it's not bad. Yeah.
Let's take a final timeout here in our 3 o'clock hour. Get you set up for the news at 4, White Sox Weekly, 720 WGN.
It's great to be back with WGN.
It's White Sox Weekly on the official radio station of the Chicago White Sox, 720 WGN.
White Sox Weekly continuing till 540. Great to have you, Jerry Reinsdorf, on 720 WGN. The White Sox undefeated on WGN in 2018. Harry Tynowitz and yours truly, Mark Harmon.
Yes, it's true. Undefeated.
Hey, you can join us April the 5th to the 8th for the opening weekend at Guaranteed Rate Field as your White Sox take on their division rivals, the Detroit Tigers, in their 2018 home debut. Be some great promotions and giveaways all weekend long. Great seats are still available at whitesox.com. So looking forward to being out there. Hopefully the weather will cooperate, all that. And lots of new stuff at the park this year, Harry. I know that you're very excited for the virtual reality batting cage, which is...
It's really cool. It is really cool.
So... Were you there on Tuesday? Did you take part of that? I didn't know that you experienced it.
I got to see the. I was not there.
Oh, okay.
My invitation got lost in the post, but I got to see the actual virtual reality batting cage. And you know, you go ahead and hit off anybody you want,
and you get 90 seconds to hit as many home runs as you can. And it's located near Gate 5. According to their digital communications guy, Brad Boron, smooth and easy swings. And if you do hit the 500-foot home run, it says don't flip the bat. It's expensive. So Brooks Boyer, I believe, has been spending his time actually just hitting bombs all day long. I believe that's what the senior vice president of sales and marketing of the Chicago White Sox has been doing. I think you created this for yourself, Brooks. Is that true?
Yeah. Any sort of home run hitting is always a good thing.
Brooks, we are very, very happy to have the White Sox on WGN. It is a match made in heaven. And for all of the brilliant, genius marketing campaigns you come up with, what's better than having an awesome team filled with exciting players on the field?
Well, I think any good marketing plan starts with a great team. And guys, thanks for having me. Always great to talk baseball, especially with hopefully the weather breaking. But absolutely, Harry, you've nailed it. If we can have a team that people can rally around, that fans like, that can come out and produce some excitement, that's the best part of any marketing plan, and that's what our fans ultimately want. You know, they have embraced this process that we're going through, understand it, and have been terrific, and we're still at the, you know, closer to the start of the process than to what is hopefully something that leads to multiple years of competing to win the World Series. And that's what the marketing plan says, is continue on this process, watch these guys grow, watch the next wave. You know, we've got a wave of players that have come in. Watch the next wave and the wave after that, and hopefully the wave after that that ultimately produces long-term success in our ballpark.
Brooks, you guys are partnering with Revolution Brewing. And I think you have my favorite quote of the spring here with, quote, "I'm not breaking any news here, what White Sox fans like to drink," which is like all fans around baseball. And as a former vendor, I can confirm that you're exactly right. What's better than a beer or two? Let's not go overboard here when you're enjoying the ball game. But it seems like a really cool place. You got all the social media going on. 250 people can be in there. Any ticket, you get in there. Seems like a place you can enjoy the game, perhaps meet some people, build your network, all of it.
Well, it is something. We always try to create attractions at the ballpark, because the hardcore baseball fan's going to want to sit and break down the game and watch every pitch and hang on every pitch and talk strategy of what's going on in the game. But our venues, whether it's stadiums or arenas or ballparks, we've become entertainment destinations. And you know, what we like to think of our experiences is something that has a little bit of something for everybody. And people like to stay connected. People like to drink. So when we can put all of those things together with our food and beverage offerings, understanding that if you come to a ball game at Guaranteed Rate Field, you're going to have the option of over 80 beers to select from. So whatever your beer palate, we want to be able to have something for everybody, and that comes to food, beverage, entertainment. social connectivity, whatever we can do to make sure that when you come to a ballpark, you enjoy yourself. That's what we ultimately want to do.
All right. So what is, for people that are looking forward, to something fun, something cool. They've been out to the park before. They're Sox fans. What might be something new they could experience this season, Brooks?
Well, I think you talked about the Revolution Brewing, the Sox Social Tap Room. That's going to be a fun place for people. I think what people are going to be most excited about is our VR experience, our virtual reality home run hitting experience that's going to be in the Chicago Sports Depot. I really think that's going to be something that people go, and when you put the VR set, I don't know if you guys have had that experience yet, you feel like you're standing, you know, we talked about home runs to start this conversation, but you get to stand in and see if you can hit home runs, and it feels real. I think that's going to be a very fun attraction that we've put into the ballpark this year, along with our new LED boards, going to be able to display more stats. People who sit in the outfield who are used to having to turn around to look at stats, you're not going to have to do that anymore. So I think the vibe and the feel of the ballpark combined with what's going on the field, we can't control what goes on the field. We certainly would like to more, but the experience that people will have off the field and then couple that with what's going on the field hopefully will be something that will interest not just White Sox fans but baseball fans throughout Chicago.
Brooks Boyer, Senior Vice President, Sales and Marketing, the Chicago White Sox. Did you ride the opening day roller coaster like everybody else? Oh, my God, it's 4-0. We're never going to win a game. And right? And like, okay,
no
World Series, baby.
We had a sponsor watch party downtown. We had a gathering of our front office at 3 o'clock to watch the game, and you know we're down 4-0 before we record an out, and I'm just thinking to myself, there's no way I'm going downtown because we might be down 11-0. I was your stereotypical White Sox fan. Oh, here we go again, and then to see those guys just start beating the ball up. And James Shields settled down, understanding he's a pro and a veteran. It made our sponsor watch party a little bit more fun.
That's the beauty of opening day. It's such a roller coaster. You're down 4-0. You think it's over. The season's over. There's not 161 games left. Hey, anything special on opening day this Thursday that fans can enjoy that maybe you won't see other days of the year?
No, baseball is the thing that hopefully we'll enjoy the most. The fact that we're going to get the guys back in town. That's always a lot of fun. We do, as you guys know, there's a lot of tributes on opening day, a lot of tailgates that happen on opening day as well. But I think as people come to the ballpark, you're going to want to see the new attractions, but also we always have a lot of fun with our introductions of players, and the pomp and circumstance of opening day is always fun. So we look forward to welcoming everybody there. The weather forecast has gotten better day by day, so hopefully we'll keep it up and have a packed house for opening day. There are some tickets available, so go get them now.
Brooks, you know me. I love the promotional events. I love the promotional evenings, the promotional days. You know, it started with Bill Veeck. You know, it started with the White Sox. I just want to go over a few of them. I have a couple suggestions maybe to, like, you know, twist them, kind of, you know, bring another level to them. So you guys,
every time I'm on the radio with you, I got to do this.
What do you want? You want a bunch of yes men, or do you want guys that say, hey, you know, I got an idea to, you know, make things better? All right. So the Astros, the world champion Astros came to town, and the Sox are emulating the Astros blueprint. They're going to be here. So April 20th is tote bag. April 21st, the zip pullover day. Those things are awesome. I say April 22nd, which is also a family day, of course. I say Altuve same height day. Any Sox fan who is the same height as Jose Altuve, 5'6", gets in free.
You might be able to fit Jose Altuve into one of those tote bags.
Okay, May 20.
Well, you can't fit in that tote bag is Jose Altuve's contract.
No, you can't.
That little guy got paid.
Oh, yeah, he did. It's like he's on the football team at Notre Dame. All right.
he's a heck of a talent.
Okay, May 20th, Mother's Day, you got Mother's Sunday going on with the Texas Rangers, their only appearance. I think that's great, but what about, for married guys, make it Mother-in-Law Day, where you get two seats and they're two sections apart.
It's a great idea.
Thank you.
You should, yeah.
I'm just, you know,
not for my mother-in-law. My mother-in-law, she could sit right next to me.
Good job, Brooks.
Oh, man, you're good. You're good.
She's the best.
July 29th against the Blue Jays. You know, it's a White Sox tradition. Christmas in July. What about Hanukkah in July or Kwanzaa in June?
Why does Kwanzaa have to be in June?
Well, I mean, technically, it's, you know, 6 months apart. You know, Hanukkah's, you know, June. So, I mean, I'm just throwing it out. June, July, anywhere in the summer, you know,
You may know this, Terry, but every year the marketing department at the White Sox, around the holidays, we have our own departmental party. And we call it Hansmas. We jam everything together. So maybe halfway to Hansmas makes more sense.
I love it. But, I mean, there's a wealth of things to do. And, you know, we've got bobbleheads all over the house. I've got all kinds of, you know, the kids still have, you know, the 83 jersey T-shirts. So there's a ton of stuff to get. You can enjoy the game. And, you know, take a second, look online, look at the schedule. Pocket schedules are everywhere now. And, you know, pick a game with a great promotional item.
Hey Brooks, go ahead, Brooks.
I was going to say, it's something we always try to do, and so it's something we talk about. We have to make our ballpark and our experience unique. Every Wednesday is going to be Dollar Dog Wednesdays. Hot dogs are going to be $1. Mm. Every Thursday you come to the ballpark, it's going to be Free T-Shirt Thursday. So we're going to give free T-shirts every Thursday. Friday nights are our signature fireworks. Saturdays, there's always going to be a great giveaway. And Sunday is going to be Family Sunday, where tickets are as low as $15 in the lower deck and $5 in the upper deck, and parking's $10. So those days, we're always trying to make sure we can create some more value for the ticket, because we appreciate everybody that comes out. And anytime you can get more value, it's better than less.
Best value in the city. There's no doubt about it. I mean, you can go for $5. It's awesome. And we, you know, we've been reading the promos here. $126 if you want to get the ballpark pass for April, May, and September. That's $3.50 a game for 36 games, which is incredibly sweet. Hey, Brooks, I'm just curious about the netting. You guys have extended it down from section 122 to 142. There's been a lot of talk around baseball, just making sure the fans are safe. You never notice it when you're sitting behind home plate, so I don't think it's a big deal, but some fans are worried that they're not going to be able to get their autographs. I mean, what's your take on the netting?
The netting, yeah, obviously I've seen it. And it is the technology and the netting, the thinness of the netting that they've developed is quite incredible. You really adjust to it. But from an autograph standpoint, the system that we put in allows the nets to be raised about 3 feet to create a 3-foot gap until probably about 25 to 30 minutes before the game, where we'll have to hook them down. So when the players are out on the field taking batting practice or interacting with fans, when it's most logical that they'd be interacting with fans, fans will still be able to interact with the players. But once we're tearing down for batting practice and the players head into their respective clubhouses, that's when we'll connect the netting to the dugout. So fans will still be able to interact, and I really don't feel that fans are going to see a significant difference as you sit there. That net truly blends into the scenery, and the reality is it's in their best interest. You know, the last thing you want to be do the last thing we want to see happen, or as a fan, if you go to a game, the last thing you want to do is see someone get hit, whether it's with a flying bat or a fouled ball. You just don't want to see anybody get hurt, and you know, that's the thing. Safety has to be number one at the ballpark.
Yeah, absolutely. Real Sports this week debuted, and they've got a whole story on that. And you know, kudos to you guys, because I know it wasn't dictated by Major League Baseball, but kudos to you guys for doing it. I know that there are bullpen carts back. I heard you guys were debating whether to go with the bullpen cart or just having Ron Kittle and Ron Karkovich give piggyback rides to the relief pitchers as they come out. Did you decide?
We know Kitty would do it. There's no doubt. I don't know about Karkovice, but I know Kitty would do it. Now, where our bullpens are located would be tough to for us to have a cart, and it's just not all that far. I mean, you're coming in from right field or left field. So we haven't talked about a cart. We have had someone approach us about sponsoring a cart if we did it. But I just don't see. And as you guys know, if we tried to take a cart and run it over the dirt and take someone to
right,
home plate, Roger Bossert would be somewhere with a voodoo doll, you know, sticking pins in my neck.
Oh, horse heads in your bed when you woke up in the morning.
No doubt. No doubt. You don't mess with the sod father.
Hey, Brooks, before you go, who's Rick Hahn rooting for today, Michigan or Loyola?
He's rooting for Michigan. There's no doubt who he is rooting for. There's this is a great story and what's going on with Loyola. And, you know, they've I think all of Chicago has embraced him, but you know, I think the people that went to Michigan are ready for this run to end.
Yep.
So it'll be very interesting. I can't wait to watch it. This is going to be a very entertaining game.
You want to make a pick?
I will go with considering my wife went to the University of Michigan, I will go with University of Michigan to win. You know, although, you know, being a Notre Dame guy, you never bet against nuns. I've learned that, learned that the hard way in high school and at Notre Dame. So I'll split the fence. I know my wife's not listening because she's in Florida. So I think my head says Michigan, my heart says Loyola.
Well, maybe you guys could get Sister Jean out to Guaranteed Rate Field at some point this summer. I'm sure White Sox fans would love to see her. You never know. She's got to be making the tour at some point here.
She's got to make the tour.
Invite is already there. We'd love to have these guys have really been fun to watch, and I think they just tell you how great college sports is, because these guys all clearly play for each other and the love of the game, and that's what makes them so easy to root for.
Always a pleasure. We'll see you out there, and next time you join us, we'll get to the new food.
You guys name the time. Always great to talk baseball with you guys. Thanks for having me, and we're so excited to be on WGN, and anything we can do to get people to engage in our broadcast, we always like to do it, and really appreciate you guys talking about it.
Brooks, appreciate the time. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, go Sox. Thanks, guys.
Absolutely. Brooks Boyer, Senior Vice President, Sales and Marketing, as we get you ready for opening day. A lot going on at the park here, Harry.
Yeah, I have no problem with Rick Hahn or anybody else that went to Michigan rooting for their school. You can't get, you know, goofy.
Of course. Right. If you went to Michigan, you're rooting for Michigan. Unless, like, you grew up here, like, say, and were a, like, for me, I went to Iowa, but grew up here rooting for Northwestern. I bet you there's somebody around here who maybe grew up in Rogers Park that's been, like, a diehard Loyola fan, who ended up going to Michigan for school, that's probably rooting for Loyola today. That person's out there somewhere, Harry.
Did you see Jay Wright said, hey, Sister Gina, I just want you to know the Pope is cheering for Villanova.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's like religious battles going all over the place. There's Father Ben in Detroit. You got the grandma of Jalen Rose is in there. Quick time out, though. We got to get on back on pace here. And coming up after 4:30, we'll have Scott Merkin from MLB.com. White Sox Weekly, 720 WGN.
WGN, the team's flagship radio station.
You're listening to White Sox Weekly on the home of the Sox, 720 WGN.
White Sox Weekly, indeed, 720 WGN. Mark Carmen and Harry Tynowitz with you till 5:40. That's when Andy Mazur will take over the pregame. What are you shaking your head at over there, Harry Tynowitz?
The song they happen to use. I think we need to redo that promo.
Why? I love an old school little intro right there.
Right. Used for about seven or eight years on another show in town.
Oh, Harry. These things, they're transferable. These things happen.
Oh, I know, but there's more than one song in the world.
Fair enough. Scott Merkin, MLB.com, doing a great job covering the White Sox. Merk, you've been on the DL. How you feeling over there?
Getting better. Made my season debut in Kansas City. Still a little sore, but it's getting there, though.
So there's rumors that you weren't actually hurt and you just didn't want to cover spring training. Can you confirm that? I mean, it's...
No, that is far from the truth. I actually love spring training. And not just for the 43 days in Arizona, as I hear the winds are gusting at 50 miles an hour in Chicago on your weathercast there, but just it's a great time for coverage. It's a great time to, you know, kind of see everyone. Everyone's in the same location, the minor league guys, the coaches, the instructors, you know, so it was sad, but the herniated disc got the best of me, so hopefully it's smooth sailing from here on, or smooth-ish sailing from here on out.
Always glad to hear you're on the improve, and always happy to talk to my second favorite Merkin. So, what about this team excites you the most?
Well, I think there's a lot of different things. I mean, their offense should be pretty potent all year, but I like the camaraderie and the chemistry this group has formed. Like it's a genuine affinity for each other and genuine kind of fight for each other. And I think there's actually kind of a little bit, I don't want to say a chip, but a little bit of an attitude that, like, you know, you guys don't know what we know. And I think that started last year when guys started coming up, you know, started coming up in shifts. And even though a lot of these guys that have been put together have not played together that long, they really seem to fit well together. And anyone who follows the myriad social media outlets out there can see that, because there's a lot of these players who are on there and chronicling their daily activities. So I just kind of like the, you know, you saw this with the Cubs. You saw this. You didn't see it as much because we're not around them, but you saw it a little with the Astros, and I heard about it, you know, with the Royals. And it's the same kind of bond that the White Sox are forming early on in this rebuild.
Scott Merkin, MLB.com, with us here on White Sox Weekly, 720 WGN. Who gets the most credit in your mind for that, Merk? Like, if, I mean, Yolmer always gets talked about as, you know, Mr. Positive in the clubhouse, always bringing, you know, a little bit of a light attitude and fun in there. But is there anybody that you would identify as sort of a leader of the, hey, let's have put a chip on our shoulder, let's have some fun, and let's all play for each other?
I think from what I've seen just in person and then on the social media, it's like Nicky Delmonico is kind of the organizer of a lot of the things. And, you know, he's a great story to get back to the majors after he had left the game. And kind of, as Rick Hahn talked about, you know, was not one of the top prospects that was, you know, being talked about last year, and had a great start at Charlotte, kind of petered out a little bit, but got the call and was, you know, outstanding, since he had a good batting eye there too for him and learning left field. But aside from that, he's just got kind of that personality that seems to kind of galvanizing everyone together. But I think there's someone brings something to everything there. You know, they talk about how James Shields, or Papa Shields, as Tim Anderson referred to him after the game on Thursday, that, you know, he's a great influence on all these guys, hitters and pitchers. He not only does he tell stories about the olden days, and remember, James Shields is 36, so I'm not sure how olden the days are in those stories, but he's able to talk to pitchers about, you know, what they're doing wrong, and he's able to talk to hitters about how pitchers set them up. So, you know, as much as you would like to have a team that's totally self-contained and it's all, you know, prospects, and you could say, hey, we grew all these guys from our farm system, you got to have those veterans on the team. You got to have the David Rosses and the Josh Reddicks and that kind of thing as part of the team. And Shields, you know, while he hasn't, the results have not been near what he wanted or the White Sox wanted, has been that kind of player for the White Sox.
What does Wellington Castillo behind the dish all year mean for the White Sox?
Well, you know, I think Omar Narvaez and Kevin Smith did a nice job last year, and the pitchers have, like, thrown to him. But I think now you have a veteran presence who's got a little more punch with the bat and is a very good pitch framer, and you know you have him for at least 2 years, if not more. So not only does he give them kind of a steady force behind the plate, you know, barring any kind of injury, along with the two guys you already know, and Omar Narvaez and Kevin Smith, but you also allow guys like Zach Collins and Sebi Zavala, who were their main catching prospects in the system, time to develop. There's no rush, you know, and that's one thing the Sox have done great in this rebuild is, even when injuries have presented themselves where it might be a spot, you know, that a guy could come up and take, they've only brought that product. You know, Moncada probably could have come up a time or two before last year. Lopez could have done the same, but they brought him up when they were ready. And when you have a guy like Castillo as the starting catcher, locked down for a couple years, maybe even three, it gives Collins and Zavala time to make sure they work through everything and as prepared as possible when they get here. As Rick has said a number of times, that, you know, it's not always a lock, but they want guys when they get here to stay here. Now, the example he's used many times is, you know, Aaron Rowan and Joe Creedy came up to the majors and had to go back down before they came back up and helped the team win a World Series. So it doesn't always happen perfectly that way, but that's their goal, is to have these guys prepared enough that when they arrive in Chicago, they stay in Chicago.
And Wellington Castillo might be a Molina brother at heart, because he led all of baseball last year in throwing runners out.
That's and that's something that makes the whole White Sox operation look better by the moment when you take guys off the base pass. And Lucas Giolito would appreciate that, Scott Merkin. What are your expectations for Giolito? I mean, you look at a guy who pitched incredibly well last September, and he's getting out of his own way, supposedly, and seems to, you know, whenever I hear him talk, I think he's, like, more mature than your standard, like, 78-year-old. He just seems like he's very much, you know, just has a strong base for which to allow that talent to flow from. This could be a huge year for Lucas Giolito.
Well, you know, Dr. Don Cooper, the well-known pitching coach for the White Sox, pointed out what we basically saw is that, you know, Lucas struggled quite a bit at Charlotte last year. And I actually saw him with a couple other reporters when he pitched at Indianapolis, and he got hit pretty hard, and he was kind of flustered at that point. I mean, he was very good talking after the game and very well thought out and erudite, but you could tell he was flustered. But when he got up there, it was clear something had changed. And as Coop mentioned the other day, the mental part of his game was kind of choking his physical part and not letting his pitches really take off. And I think Luke has finally just got past the point about, you know, oh, this was the top pitching prospect, now where is he? And he just went back to pitching and just went back. You know, he made some mechanical corrections too, and he's, you know, been able to use his off-speed pitch a little more effectively. But I think there's just a confidence there now that wasn't there when we first saw him in spring training or when I saw him pitch in Indianapolis for the night. So, yeah, it's definitely a different person starting last year and even more so this year. So it'll be interesting to see what he, you know, does. I mean, it's one start. So whether he throws seven innings, a shutout ball, or gives up five runs in two innings, it doesn't matter. It's one start. And I mean, it matters, but in the scheme of things, it doesn't decide the season, obviously. But
of course,
regardless of tonight, he's on the right track, that's for sure.
And speaking of, it's only one game, but Matt Davidson, three home runs, and he was most proud of his walk, which I thought was huge too at the time. Like the fact that you're not trying to hit four home runs in a day, and you know that like the big point for you is to not strike out nearly as much. You know, it was 165 strikeouts last year. So
right,
and I guess Paul Konerko thinks that this could be an all star in Matt Davidson. Are you on board with that, Scott Merkin?
Yeah, that's a pretty good authority to go by, right?
Right?
Paul Konerko knows a pretty decent amount of baseball. I think it'll be interesting to see. You know, Davidson's an interesting case because he's not one of these 21 or 22 year old prospects. He's been around a little bit. His struggles, you know, a few years, 3 or 4 years back with Charlotte, were well documented after they got him for, I think it was Addison Reed, right, in that trade.
Yep.
And then he's, you know, he was injured after the one game. I think he had two at bats, and he was done for the season with the broken foot. And then he seems, you know, he's really worked hard to rebuild that swing. A lot of help from Mike Gellinger, who's the minor league hitting instructor and played a huge role in the offense in the 2005 World Series team. So he's got confidence now, and it's showing. The question is, where does he fit? You know, you see where he fits in the interim. Where does he fit moving forward? Is he part of this next team that they envision as a championship contender? Or, you know, how does he work? Is he the DH on that team? Does he have a shot at third base? You know, I mean, he's going to play third base this year. But to be honest with you, I don't think he's worried about that right now. He's just worried about, you know, the game tonight and just doing what he can, the best he can.
Carm, don't you love it how Scott Merkin casually throws out, you know, a 2005 little factoid that maybe 8% of the world knows about, but now everybody knows about?
I mean, Merk has been around. He's been doing this. This is like he falls out of sleep and covers White Sox baseball. It's nothing to him.
I'm old enough to remember when Michigan won the national title in basketball in 1989. That's how old I am.
Wait, hold on a second that you just brought that up, because Rick Hahn said he wore a tie the other day with Michigan colors, and he said, quote, "This is a tribute to Scott Merkin more so than the University of Michigan." But those two do happen to go. And Rick Hahn went to Michigan, but he's saying he's wearing the tie for you.
And you went to Michigan.
I went to Michigan. I think it's basically myself, Rick Hahn, and Chris Getz against the entire city of Chicago tonight, with the game tipping off, what, in like about 20 minutes. But yeah, that was real nice of Rick to say. I appreciated it. I appreciated the Sox people reaching out when I was on the DL. But I think Rick wore that tie for Michigan. Come on. I mean, he went to the school. Yeah, I mean, I'm sure if Loyola beats Michigan tonight, he'll happily root for them in the championship game. But you can't mess with collegiate alliances, you know? I mean, come on.
Agreed.
That's how it goes.
Agreed.
I'm rooting strongly for the Wolverines and John Beilein tonight, obviously.
Yeah, Jeff Beilein's pretty hard to dislike. And, you know, as soon as that opening act is over, we can get to the Jayhawks taking care of Villanova. So I hope there's a lot of call for the White Sox to go to their closer. I still don't know, like, you know, how committed they are to the closer. What, you know, who is the guy? How often will that guy change? If the Sox have a lead in the ninth inning tonight, who's getting the baseball and how long will that guy stay the closer?
Yeah, I think closing roles changed a couple of players. The 2016, when the Cubs beat the Indians, I think closing roles changed then when Andrew Miller was closing in the fourth inning. You know,
right, right.
Two and a third innings in the fourth, fifth, and sixth. Now, with that said, I still think Nate Jones is probably the guy in the ninth inning. But I also think that if Ricky Renteria sees a game where the seventh inning is the bigger leverage inning and maybe he needs a seventh and eighth out of Nate Jones, then he'll do that with Nate and possibly, you know, go to Soria or Manaya or even Hector Santiago, for that matter, in the ninth inning. Or it could be flipped. You know, maybe he thinks Soria is the guy for that game, and the biggest inning of the game is that seventh, and then you know you have options. So that's the biggest thing that Rick Hahn and Kenny Williams have done for Ricky in terms of the bullpen is, you know, yeah, that's not there. Mariano Rivera is not down there right now, but he's got a lot of, and he probably won't be since he retired, but he's got a lot of different choices now. They have three lefties they can go to, so Ricky Renteria can really mix and match down there out of the bullpen.
If you go to MLB.com, you can read all of Merck's coverage on the White Sox. Five reasons why the White Sox could surprise in 2018 is, I think it's your most recent, maybe it's your second most recent piece. What's your favorite of the five that you put out there, Scott?
Oh, and I gotta remember what all five of them are now. I think first of all, the American League. You know, I think there are some really good teams in the American League, and then there are a lot of questionable teams in the American League. So I think you have, you know, the Yankees, the Red Sox, the Indians, the Astros, of course, the Angels, maybe the Mariners, and then there are a lot of wins there for a team, you know, such as the White Sox, who is an up-and-coming team and believes that they're better than everyone else is projected, you know, with their top five pick again this year or 72 wins or whatever. Now, I'm not saying that they're going to topple those five teams that I just mentioned, but I think, you know, this is a team that could make a run for 500, and from there you see what happens. Now, again, I'm not basing it on, you know, one game that was a great effort. They could, you know, they don't want to have this happen, but they could lose the next four for all we know, or they could start 6-0, either way, but I just think the reasons I put out there are reasons that hold true through the whole season. I do know that, you know, the goal is not to win a wild card this year. So if this team stays in contention, if this team's hanging in there, I don't expect Rick Hahn to, you know, switch courses and put together some prospects and add some big veteran to help the cause just for this year. They are set on winning multiple championships, contending for multiple championships, and they're not going to change for that plan. So it'll be interesting to see how they develop. Again, it was one game. It was a great game. It was a great comeback. It was an amazing, you know, power supply, power show. And, you know, I think there's some makings there for a team that could be better than people expected.
Merck, great to talk to you. Glad you're feeling better. And look forward to seeing you guys out there opening day as the White Sox coming home Thursday with Detroit. And thanks for taking time today. Good luck to the – I won't say that. I'm not going to say that. I'm rooting for the Ramblers. I can't do it.
The Wolverines.
Yeah, I can't do it. I just can't do it. Be careful of that
50-mile-an-hour wind out there in Chicago.
Yeah. We'll be losing football, too.
See you, Merck. Thanks a lot. Scott Merck at MLB.com.
Thanks, Merck. Terrific.
White Sox games are better with a group. Group events are perfect for clients or employees celebrating or fundraising. Bring your group out for specially priced tickets and a great experience. It's never too early to start planning your summer outing. For more information, call 312-674-1000 or visit whitesox.com. Ed Farmer coming up after 5 o'clock. Harry, it's White Sox Weekly, 720 WGN. Text question today on White Sox Weekly. Give us the slogan for the 2018 White Sox. 847 White Sox Baseball. We're on a new energy plan. 773, our time is now. 224, baseball is guaranteed great over at guaranteed rate.
Yeah. Rhymes. I don't know if we'll get that on a bumper sticker.
Yeah. 2018 White Sox from the 847. Here comes the boom. And I think these Go Blue texts are about Michigan and not the White Sox.
Pretty sure.
Yeah, I think that's the case. Hey, join us as the White Sox take on the Detroit Tigers on Saturday, April 7th. That's next Saturday at 1:10. First 15,000 fans will receive a White Sox winner hat presented by Coca-Cola. Coca-Cola tastes the feeling. To purchase tickets, you can visit whitesox.com. 312-981-7200. That is the text line if you want to get in. And what should the White Sox slogan be for 2018?
You know, come on, this is fun. You know, and the kids can play was good, but that's out. So, I mean, I think the first thing you want to do is take advantage of the excitement of the youth. They've gone from the, you know, next to worst minor league system rated by Baseball America to, you know, the second from best. I believe the Padres are the top rated minor league system. Come on, you got to take advantage of the all the excitement of the young guys that are going to be coming up. The young guys that are already here, and as we've talked about, Lucas Giolito's getting the ball tonight. He was terrific last season.
Ricky's guys don't quit is sort of like it's been out there a lot. And who cares if the Padres are number one? By the way, there's That's only one person's opinion, Harry.
I watched the Padres last night. I mean, baseball's great. I couldn't sleep Wednesday night, and I've just been watching baseball, all these teams, all these games. And the Padres, they don't have the excitement that the White Sox have.
Not anywhere close.
Right.
Hey, Mike, real quick, what's going on? You're welcome to WGN and White Sox Weekly.
Well, I was asking about third base position. I know that Matt Berger, he went down Achilles injury this year.
Mm-hmm.
And now Jomar Sanchez is filling in.
Yeah, Jake Berger, by the way.
Davidson was looked at as third baseman at one time, but now we know he's strictly a DH.
He could play third.
Mike, appreciate the call. We're up against a break here. We're going to play a little bit of Matt Davidson in the 5 o'clock hour here. And we talked to him last week. You can check out the whole podcast. He would like to play in the field. But he also is happy to be in the lineup regardless of anywhere. So it was kind of interesting to me, too, with Mike Moustakas sitting out there, who the White Sox, of course, are playing today.
Right, right.
But the Sox weren't at the point in their reconstruction rebuild that they were going to go outside Moose, who ended up back in Kansas City.
And we visited with Brooks Boyer. You know, we talked with Scott Merkin, and they're both of the belief that this could be an exciting team that wins more games than people think, but they're probably Sox, Rick Hahn, probably not in, you know, go get the veteran to make the run at the playoff mode.
Right, right. All right, quick timeout. Ed Farmer right after the 5 o'clock news, 720 WGN.
At the wall, the 380, gone. A three-run homer for Tim Anderson. 3-1 White Sox.
Back to White Sox Weekly on 720 WGN.
You had fun on opening day, down 4-0, and the White Sox score 14 unanswered. That does not happen every day, Harry Tynowitz. Welcome back to White Sox Weekly, 720 WGN. Ed Farmer, did you enjoy your opening day?
Not the first inning. Did not enjoy the first inning, to tell you the truth. Me or Darren Jackson did enjoy it, but I made a mention of it. I said, if they can strand Alex Gordon at second base, Giolito, or I should say Shields, has a chance to settle down and not give up anymore. We could come back. And Darren said, we hit all spring, we're not going to stop hitting. Boy, was he right. We came back, led 5-4, and then all of a sudden we put 14 runs on the board, and it was getaway day for the Sox to get out of the ballpark with a win.
So there you are, opening day at Farmer, and thank you so much for taking time on White Sox Weekly. Pregame at 5:40 today, and you got the first pitch with DJ at 6:15. You're so excited, then all of a sudden they haven't gotten an out. It's 4-0. Were you riding the roller coaster? Oh my God, this is going to be a long season.
I'll give you a postscript to it. What really happened in the clubhouse was James and I had words last year about pitching, and I told him what I thought of him pitching. I said, why don't you throw strike one? He goes, I said, you're behind 2-0 on people. Throw strike one. I said, you're big game, James. Let's go with the strike one. And then he goes, okay. I said, then it's strike two. I took a ball opening day with strike one and strike two. And I said, go get him today. You got good stuff. Let's call a winner. And he goes, thanks, Ed. I appreciate that. I was doubting I did the right thing when they scored four. But he proved me more than right. I'll tell you what, he was dominant after that first inning. They hit about four or five balls in the air, and there were pop-ups to the infield. I mean, he hit a batter and walked a batter, and those were the only two batters that reached base after the first inning. I mean, talk about shutting down an offense, because it looked like a conga line in the first inning.
Farmio, it was a really fun broadcast to listen to, and there was something for the people that loved offense, and there was... several records that were almost broken, a record tied. The White Sox only had four guys that had given them a multi-homer game on opening day in their franchise history, and two guys did it. You brought that number up 50% on opening day.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. I mean, the things that happened. By the way, by no means is this a small ballpark. It's 387 to the gaps in left center and right center. It's 330 down the lines, and center field is over 400 feet. It's 4-10. Moncada hit two balls on the opener on Thursday that got on the warning track. On a normal day here with the wind not blowing and circling in the ballpark with the warmer temperatures, those are gone. Those are gone way out in center field. So those things that happened, they weren't by chance. We can hit.
And the Royals broke a record they didn't want to break because of the Sox offense. Nine-inning game, nine pitchers pitched.
Oh, I know. I'm well aware of that, Harry. I ran out of room on my scorecard to put the pitchers. I can only house seven or eight of them, and I had to put the last pitcher up on the top of the scorecard because, and he wasn't out there long, but I still had to put him on the top of the scorecard.
Farmio,
you remember this. We hit well. We scored well. We had 14 runs on 14 hits. They had seven runs also. Don't discount that. And we didn't exactly get him out the whole time, but we got enough to win, that's for sure.
Farmio, let's talk Matt Davidson, and then I want to hear your thoughts on Lucas Giolito starting tonight. But here's the guy who was most proud, seemingly, of his walk on opening day and not the three home runs. He clearly wants to cut down on his strikeouts and become a more complete player. What are you seeing in spring? He had a great spring, too. What are your thoughts on Matt Davidson going into a huge year for him?
Darren picked it up in spring training. Darren Jackson said this. He's changed his bat. He's quicker to the ball. He's short and quick to the ball. But then again, we saw him today at the restaurant for breakfast. He didn't eat with us, but he was at another table. And I said, three home runs. I said, Giancarlo Stanton got most of the publicity in the paper, and you hit three homers, and they showed one of his home runs in batting practice. That's how fortunate the Yankees are. They show his home runs in batting practice. And he said, yeah, that day's gone. I'm thinking about what I have to do tonight against Ian Kennedy of the Kansas City Royals. Pretty good idea about what he wants to do. Now he's been able to carry it out. And he's got big-time power. That last home run that he hit, Mark, that was a line drive. And I said, if it doesn't get up, it's going through the wall in left field. And it reached the first or second row on a laser beam.
And I would call that easy power, too, Ed, right? I mean,
short and quick to the ball. Darren talks about it all the time. If you're short and quick to the ball, you can wait longer at home plate to go get the ball. You don't have to go get it. It's right there, and you're short and quick. You're going to hit it. And that's how you deliver, your power.
Ed, do you think that they're going to use him at third base much, or is he going to be just Edgar Martinez all season for the White Sox?
No, I think he could play third base. I mean, you got to give Yomar Sanchez some off times, and you're going to use Lourdes Garcia. The one good thing about Renteria, he's going to get them in a game. Either we're winning tied, but he's going to use them. I mean, it's not like he's got a full bench. We've got three guys on each club on the bench, three for the Royals, the extra men, and three for us. So you're going to get those guys in, and Renteria has been very good about it. Yost, I didn't see him today, former teammate of mine. I want to talk to him about the nine pitchers they paraded to the mound in the opener.
You, and I heard you on the opening day broadcast. I've heard you in spring training. I heard you last year. You want to give Ricky Renteria credits a lot of the time, so it's clear that you really appreciate what he's doing. Can you speak to that a little bit as to what you like
about
him?
He's a former teammate of mine to begin with. The last year that I played, he played third base behind me, and that's probably why he's a manager today. I'm sure it's told on him greatly. But they know one thing. All he wants you to do is hustle, and hustle on defense as well, meaning you're going back up bases. They all wear shirts down there right now. It has 27 on the back with a circle around. It's a black White Sox shirt. It says Chicago White Sox on the back. It says 27. He's counting 27 outs. That's what he's counting. Everybody's got one of those shirts. He talks to the players in volumes about what to do and where to be. They know their job. They know they've got to hustle because if they don't hustle, it's going to pull them off the field. But they also know that he's their friend also. So he runs that existence being parallel with a dimension of I'm their teacher, but I'm also their manager. I've got to draw a line somewhere. Nobody's getting away with this. But he's also going to applaud them verbally. And then he's not going to be so apologetic when he has to get on him and tell him, hey, we're not going to do that here. And if you keep doing it over and over again, he'll get somebody else to play. I think that's what makes him the best, because he can talk to the Spanish kids okay. He can use their language as well as English. And that works for him. And he's a great guy. He's just a great person. And he's got a different outlook on what he wants to do, and they do it. They just do it to the letter. That's what makes it good.
Did you have managers back in the day that were your friend, Ed?
Billy Martin was my friend, and he sent Art Fowler out to get me one day, and he goes, do you know what you're doing out here? I said, evidently not. They've got four straight hits off me. And Art Fowler was like 90, and he wore shin guards under his game socks, even though he wasn't pitching anymore. And he said, I'll tell you what you're doing. You're making Billy Martin upset. I said, Art, get off the mound, or I'll punch your lights out. So I get in the dugout. Billy Martin comes over. He goes, Shell, Art, you were going to punch his lights out? I said, I did, sir. He goes, that's like telling me. You want to tell me? I said, no, Billy, I don't want to tell you that ever. I don't even want to think that anymore. So that he was great with me. Tony La Russa, though, was the best with me. And La Russa, no gray area with Tony either. He was more than prepared. And I can't say enough about him, because he's the guy responsible for shortening the game with your starter and using a bullpen that has certain levels of it to get you to the closer.
I'm with the radio voice of the White Sox and the post-game host, Fermio and Kermio, on White Sox Weekly on WGN.
That's how we go. We've got bobbleheads coming with that.
It's going to be huge.
I like it a lot. So I'm glad the 27 shirts are for the 27 outs. I thought it might be for Ken Kravick, but I wasn't sure. Why would a guy who's not playing in the game wear shin guards?
Well, he threw batting practice.
I see. Okay, that makes sense.
With no screen. That makes sense. I threw batting practice. I never wore shin guards.
Well, he was older.
Well, what does that mean? He had shin guards that looked like they weren't the catcher's shin guards.
Like goalie pads? Like goalie pads?
No, yeah, they were like goalie pads. He wore two giant-sized mattresses on each leg. Yeah, that's what he wore.
All right. So, Fermio, there was a lot to like about Lucas Giolito when he came up last year. He's awfully fun to cheer for. Is that a sweeping curveball? Is that the Bugs Bunny curveball?
That's a very short, quick breaker. Looks like a slider. I scouted him in high school in 2012. I put him in as my number one pick. We didn't get him. And then we got him in a trade to go into from the Washington Nationals for Adam Eaton. So when you look at it, I've known him a long time. He was 17 years old when I saw him pitch. He had Tommy John surgery. I still wanted to take him. He hasn't disappointed me at all. He's got a different way of thinking on the mound as well. He's not going out there by chance. And I hope he pitches well tonight. I mean, they gave him a standing ovation in spring training for pitching 6-plus innings in spring training. And I think he threw 81 pitches in those 6 innings. And he walked off the mound when Renteria removed them, and the people gave him a standing ovation. That's tough to get in spring training for them to hang around, number one. But to get on your feet after you're in spring training and you pitch like that, that's big.
Don Cooper, White Sox pitching coach, talked about he's getting out of his own way, Fermio. Does that ring true for you?
Well, you don't want to do too much thinking out there, because analysis can lead to paralysis. That's what I always believe. Giolito asked me one time, he goes, what did you do differently? I said, I only threw 3 warm-up pitches each time I went out for the inning to start, or I came in from the bullpen. That's what do you mean? I said, I threw 3 pitches. I told the umpire, get him in the batter's box right now. And Giolito has a different way of thinking. He knows what he's doing on the outside corner and can substantiate that outside corner by going in. And his curveball, I thought it was a slider when I saw him in high school, because it's such a short breaking curveball. A slider goes down about an inch or two, and it's a late break. His curveball isn't that far away from a slider, but it lacks that velocity that's near a fastball.
All right, so
he changes speeds on it now also.
All right, so tonight we have one of the guys we're going to be counting on for the future Lucas Giolito. Tomorrow we have the other guy, Reynaldo Lopez. What should Sox fans expect tomorrow from the big right-hander?
Well, we'll start with the 4 inches of snow they're expecting here in Kansas City, because he may be throwing snowballs tomorrow rather than baseballs. But as I like to say, we play the game tonight, and the weather will take care of itself tomorrow. But he's a young guy with a great arm. I expect him to pitch well tomorrow as well. I mean, this is a pretty good pitching staff, but it's young, starting with Giolito and also Reynaldo Lopez. And then your bullpen, you've got some guys. I mean, we talked about it on Thursday. 9 guys that never made the opening day roster in the big leagues made it on Thursday. That's big. That's a young team.
Fermio, we're excited to hear you tonight, 5:40 pregame, and then you and DJ take over. Hey, but before you go here, and we appreciate you taking time right before the game tonight, Tim Anderson, his first home run on Thursday, the pitch before was in the dirt. It was like 56 feet. He has a check swing, and I'm thinking to myself, oh, God, that's awful. And then he bounces back, and on the next pitch, it hits it into the bullpen. I was just impressed, because there's a guy who's, okay, that just happened, and now I'm moving forward. I mean, to me, that was super impressive. I don't know if you had the same thought.
No, it was, because that ball that he swung at, you're right, was in the left-handed batter's box. And the pitcher left that pitch up, and he hit it out. He's a wonderful athlete, I've got to tell you that. He's got great range at shortstop, and he's learning how to hit here in the big leagues. But he's a very, very nice guy as well. There's one thing about this club, the identity of this club. Everybody takes care of themselves in the dugout, and then there's one or two guys who get them amped up, and one of them is the third baseman, Yomer Sanchez. And he started things going in the dugout in the fourth inning And when he said, hey, fellas, let's go. We're going to play White Sox baseball. And it all started in the dugout. That's what I was told after the game. And all of a sudden, guys were going, we ain't out of this game. Let's go score some runs. And they sent 10 to home plate, and that inning scored five times. We had six home runs on Thursday as well.
Yep, yep. Farmer, have a great call tonight. Thanks for taking time.
Mark, thanks. And Harry, I look forward to seeing you guys. Loyola against Michigan tonight as well, so I'm hoping the Ramblers are there, even though they've got a guy from St. Rita playing for the Wolverines of Michigan.
Yes, they do. I knew that wouldn't get past you, Farmio.
No, but remember, Jack Egan went to St. Rita also, and they won in 63 with Loyola winning the national championship for George Ireland.
Yep, yep. It took him OT. Maybe it won't go to OT.
Exactly.
Maybe it won't go to OT tonight.
Hopefully.
All right, we'll see you Thursday.
All right, guys. We'll call a winner tonight, hopefully.
Thanks, Farmio.
Thanks for having me. Happy Easter to everybody.
Absolutely. Ed Farmer out at Kauffman Stadium getting ready for the game. Appreciate him taking time. 10-4 Michigan, by the way, early going here. The Ramblers struggling to get it going. They've struggled before early on, right. So hopefully they'll be turning it around anytime now.
Yes, happy Easter and a happy Passover.
You're going to a Seder tonight, Harry.
I am going to a Seder.
I was there last night.
How was your Seder last night?
I thought I did a great Dayenu. I thought I was very strong.
Ilu hotzi hotzianu hotzianu mi mitzrayim.
Time for a quick timeout on that one. I love it. I love a good Dayenu.
Dayenu.
720 WGN White Sox Weekly.
Head to the park for the first Dollar Hot Dog Wednesday of the season on April 11th as the Sox take on the Tampa Bay Rays at 110. Take advantage of this unbeatable deal as you cheer on the Sox all season long. Get your tickets at WhiteSox.com today.
And you can get the latest White Sox gear at the Chicago Sports Depot. It's conveniently located by Gate 5 off of 35th Street. Depot can be accessed during games via the bridge by Section 145, and it's open 12 to 5 on non-game days. For current deals and promotions, you can follow the at White Sox Store on Instagram. 720 WGN White Sox Weekly with you till 5:40 tonight. We're gonna, after the 5:30 news here. There's a fascinating moment in the Detroit Tigers game with Pittsburgh on opening day, where the Tigers thought they had won the game, and instant replay came in.
Instant replay is good. My only problem with instant replay is how long it takes.
There's something I can't get out of the way of it, but like there's something wrong with a walk-off base hit game winner, and then all of a sudden they go to the replay and the Tigers have already celebrated on the field and no, we got to go out and keep playing. I guess there's no way around that, but it just like you've already won the game. It's over.
You want to get it right. Put your team in the Pirates position.
I guess that's a fair point, but I don't. It just there's something that I maybe it's just to me it takes getting used to.
Watching baseball, watching college basketball, football, hockey, the replays. They seem like they should be. Some of them are tough. Granted, every once in a while you look at one like I don't know, but a lot of these go on way too long.
That there should be a time limit. If you can't figure it out,
then you can't overturn it.
You got 2 minutes. Yes or no? Make your best call. All right, here, let's get a quick timeout here. Get you ready for news and Sox baseball coming up. 720 WGN. White Sox baseball coming up. Andy Mazur is somewhere in the building warming up with your pregame show, which is 7 minutes from now. A reminder, there's a ticket plan for every fan. You can get access to every opponent with a partial ticket package or handpick your games with a 10-game package. Secure your seats for the 2018 season today. For more information, call 312-674-1000 or visit WhiteSox.com. Hope to see you out there. On opening day Thursday, it's supposed to be a little chilly, but dress warm. That's not anything new that it's going to be cold on opening day, and maybe the weather will continue to tick in the right direction, if you will. We'll get to, I don't know, in the 50s? That'd be beautiful. Hey, let's do a little quick rewind. Matt Davidson was on White Sox Weekly last week, and we talked about his great spring training and his mindset coming into the season. Thought we'd bring that back after his three homers on opening day.
It's been fun. Just kind of looked at my season last year and decided I needed to probably swing at more strikes and not as many balls and make some better decisions. And that's kind of what I was trying to improve on and walk a little bit more. And It happened this spring, so I just want to take it on into the year.
So that's not that easy to do, though, right? I mean, I think throughout your whole career, I'm like, I'd rather not strike out. I'd rather swing at strikes. What's been the change? Is it just maturing and getting better as you get older, or is there something more to it?
Yeah, I think that has a little bit to do with it. I think, you know, having confidence in what I did last year, it helps as well, too, at the highest level. And but also, you know, I mean, just trying to be a little more efficient with my decisions and being disciplined in that and you know, trusting myself. And I think it's just a culmination of everything, of a lot of things. But, you know, you're just trying to keep it in the, keep it going during the year and the consistency factor. And that's kind of, you know, I mean, the best guys are, they're not necessarily any better than anybody else in the league, but they just do it every single day, you know, and that's what makes them so good. So that's what we're all striving for, to be as consistent as possible, and that's what we're doing.
Well, you know, Matt, you talk about how you gained all this confidence with the season you had last year. What is it like to wake up in the morning and know that you're leading all of Major League Baseball in RBIs this spring?
You know, that's something, you know, spring training stats don't really,
not too shabby. I know a lot of guys would switch places with you, Matt.
Yeah, no, you know, I mean, you love to have those numbers and, you know, but I try to keep myself disciplined and what I wanted to accomplish. And it was really kind of that on-base percentage and kind of wanted to go from there. And that was the number I was really looking for, that I wanted to be and high and get some more walks in. You know, I mean, that was really nice for sure. I definitely want to save those. I wouldn't mind taking those into the season. You know, it'll come and just want to continue what I'm doing here.
There you go, Matt Davidson. 3 home runs on opening day. Tim Anderson with a pair. And, of course, Jose Abreu had the first one, a 2-run shot, which got the White Sox back in. And when they were down 4-0, made it 4-2. And they rolled from there. 14 straight runs. You do not see that every day. 6:15, first pitch tonight. Mazur has your pregame show. Andy Mazur has your pregame show in about 3.5 minutes. And the Sox were supposed to play the Royals tomorrow. 1:15 first pitch, and I say supposed to because, as Ed Farmer told us, and we've been hearing for a while now, snow expected in Kansas City tomorrow, and that is not normal for Kansas City, even with the baseball season starting this early. And they don't have a lot of snowplows in Kansas City, I can tell you. So it will not be easy to get to the ballpark if 4 inches of snow fall tomorrow. But we'll see. Doesn't necessarily mean they will not play tomorrow. The Sox won't have any trouble with the weather the 3 days after that, when they're in Toronto Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. And then the home opener, 3:10 first pitch Thursday afternoon at Guaranteed Rate Field. Looking forward to being out there and just experiencing the opening day. And Brooks Boyer was on earlier. There are tickets available. So if you want to come out on opening day and see the Sox and the Tigers and Lucas Giolito, who is supposed to start on opening day, those seats are still available for you. And it's always just, you know, first of all, it should be a national holiday, even though the season's already started. The home opener, come on. You shouldn't have to go to work that day, or maybe you work a half day. I mean, that's kind of the perfect scenario. Tonight, as Andy will tell you in greater detail in about 2 minutes here, you got Giolito and you got Ian Kennedy on the mound for the Royals, and he has not been good, to say the least, against the White Sox. 0-2 last year with an ERA up close to 8, and 2-7 for his career with an ERA over 6. And Jose Abreu right now is at the bat rack, ready to go. He's 9-for-19 in his career against Kennedy. That's a .474 average, 3 home runs, slugging percentage of .947. So I think the White Sox coming into tonight feeling pretty confident they're going to get some runs off of Ian Kennedy. And the story tonight, I think, you know, as you look towards the future and everything, is how does Lucas Giolito start the season? Was outstanding in the spring this year, 2-0 with an ERA just over 2, 2.04, struck out 17 and 17 2/3 innings. And Arizona is Arizona, but it's still impressive. And him talking about how he was working on his curveball and wanted to feel comfortable coming out of spring training, and he does. That's a great development for Giolito and a great development for the White Sox. Alcides Escobar is 2-for-6 against Giolito. Mike Moustakas 0-for-6. Whit Merrifield 0-for-5. Alex Gordon 1-for-6, played center for the Royals on opening day. So enjoy the ball game tonight. And I will talk to you after the game with our White Sox post-game show. I want to thank Brooks Boyer for jumping on today. I want to thank Scott Merkin for joining White Sox Weekly, and for my partner, Harry Tynowitz, who is off to have an amazing Seder tonight. Happy Passover, happy Easter, and a beautiful weekend with baseball going on. And if you're interested, with Loyola and Michigan early going here, the Ramblers are trailing, but they're right there. Don't you worry. Loyola's been down to four early. 15-10 Wolverines, a little under 8 minutes to go in the first half. White Sox baseball coming right now for you. Sox and the Royals, game two. The White Sox all alone in first place in the American League Central. Enjoy the game. We'll talk to you afterwards. It's been White Sox Weekly on 720 WGN.